Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into another wide receiver tier here. These are going to be your wide receivers that have a hit and that are coming off of a non-hit, though, right? So kind of a prior hit that are they languishing? Are they developmental track, sort of where are we? So key guys in this range: Terry McLaurin, Chase Claypool, Cortland Sutton, Devontae Parker. He's on the older side as well. And actually would transfer over to the 29-year-old or above group, but came in at 28 next year. So only talk about the guys that are actually under 29 years old. So I think when you look at this range, it's an interesting one in the sense of, I think a lot of these are situational questions, right? So I think if you said, what's the defining tier, or the defining question in this tier, and I think it would be, largely, there's situational questions, whether that's, quarterback, I think is the key starting point with some of these guys, and then you also have some real usage questions, some real usage concerns. So those would be the big things here, I think, if you're looking for overarching sort of takeaways. And we'll just combine the guys that have one hit with the guys that have, whether or not they're 28 or under, the guys coming off of a non-hit. So again, it's McLaurin, Sutton, Gallup is in this range, DJ Shark, Curtis Samuel, and then guys that are, and then Chase Claypool as well, and then guys that are 29 or older would include Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, and Sammy Watkins. So let's look here at we've got Terry McLaurin. I think McLaurin's pretty good. I think the question ultimately is a ceiling type deal. I think a lot of that's going to be quarterback related. So that's the thing that I would say with him. When you look at him, expected points per game, 27th this past year. He performed at 32nd, and so firmly in the wide receiver three range. However, yards per route run, we're looking at 1.9. Again, that's up in the top 10 percentile. We're looking targets per route run, again, top 20 percentile. When you look at points per route run, it's 0.36. That's 84th percentile. So, again, you're looking at a pretty good wide receiver. His PFF grade, wide receiver 22, which is sort of in line with the production that he did. I think he gets hurt from a couple of perspectives. Dropbacks per game, 37.5. That's 19th most. In terms of pass rate, 19th most as well. Designed pass rate is at 18%. So, and again, they don't play that fast either. So they're 19th in terms of their play rate. So I would be my. I think he's a quote good player. I think the situation might be holding him back a bit, and I think it's largely cost. So I think in this range you want to take, you want to take guys that have ceiling if things get better. He's right now at wide receiver 17. When you start looking around at that and say, all right, how does the situation necessarily get better? That would be sort of the question that I would have is, are they going to address quarterback? And if so, how much is the cost going to go up to the point where it's going to make a difference? Otherwise, you're going to see him get caught, guys behind him that could potentially have a better, situation happen. Calvin Ridley's at 23, for example. Keenan Allen's at 24. I'd make that pivot and collect that, that for sure. And so those are just, you sort of look down. I mean, Hopkins, you could collect from. And so he's a pivot. He's, I think, a pivot guy. Yeah, I think he's a good player. He's probably overpriced right now. I think in terms of how does the situation get better for him, because if the situation doesn't get better, we're kind of seeing who he is. And that's not even necessarily a knock on Terry McLaurin. It is more of a statement about the fact that he is – just not a high volume player, right? 126 routes on the season. That is just not, you know, now we have an extra game. That's just not going to get you, you know, to a high end producing. You're looking, you know, a low end wide receiver 2/wide receiver 3 range. I mean, that's really what that range sort of suggests. You know, we hoped coming in as a rookie, 91 targets, 128. You know, you wanted 140, right? You sort of wanted that next step. He levels out. Again, I don't think he got worse per se. You know, good in terms of yards per route run, still north of 1.8. Again, he's a 1.9 guy for his career. So he's really good. It becomes just an issue of volume ultimately. So that would be my pause and my concern for him. You know, some trades here that have happened for McLaurin. You know, recently, you know, he was a upgrade piece from Dak to Justin Herbert. Him for Deshaun Watson straight up. Him for Elijah Moore straight up. Again, I would take the Watson side on that. You know, he was given along with a third for a first. I don't know where those picks are, you know, so use caution on that. Him and Hockenson for Fournette, Andrews in a second. You know, so there's a little bit of range there in terms of how he's used, but I probably would explore him again. And I would maybe, even if I'm contending, I would probably definitely explore him in a trade down to a guy like Keenan Allen or something like that. Okay, next up here, Chase Claypool, wide receiver 61 in PFF grade. He had 12.5 points per game expected, 11.1 actual points per game. That's good for wide receiver 40th in terms of per game. Only 14.6% target share. I'll say this. I think the couple of rushing touchdowns, his involvement and some of that usage early on in the season, I think really anchored some folks. I mean, he performed a couple points over, you know, I guess 1.3 points over expectation last year. But again, it was very much in the wide receiver 3 type range. And I think we got kind of allured by it. There's not a ton to really suggest that's who, you know, that is ultimately who he is as a player. It's more, it looked a lot more like it was gadgety, which was always somewhat my concern for him. And, you know, especially when I viewed last year, you know, I wasn't sure coming in if he was going to be, I didn't think he was going to be super productive. But when you sort of look at him, you know, last year it was very much, I thought it was very much lucky. Right, you know, you got some of that rushing stuff, and it's not necessarily stuff you'd necessarily predict. So, again, 40th in points per game, expected for 30th. I am tepid on him, would be what I would say. So, I know the quarterback situation gets better for him, but I'm not sure how it gets that much better. And I think Deontay Johnson is by far the better player. So that's sort of my pitch there. Courtland Sutton's another one that I think people are probably have inflated a bit too much in terms of, hey, this quarterback upgrade X could make this situation a lot better for Sutton. Like, that's theoretically true. I'm not sure that there's a ton to suggest it's actually true. He's wide receiver 36 right now. He's going ahead of guys like Lockett, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's actually younger than Sutton. Michael Thomas is in that range as well. You know, you could debate that one. Brandon Cooks is later. Allen Robinson's later. You know, so I think you have a variety of guys. Tony's right ahead of him. Renfro's right ahead of him. You know, so you have a variety of different things there. My thought with Sutton, again, he's in the expected, like, in the 50s range, 8.7 points per game is actual accomplishment. 80th percentile in terms of yards per route run. Like, that's good. I think that we do need to adjust as I sort of go along. I think we need to adjust for just look at the yards per route run versus guys that have hit. I think it'd be interesting comp there. But 18.1 target share, targets per route run, right? So how many of his routes run was he actually targeted on? It's 18.1%. That's pretty low. Like, that's middle of the pack. And again, then you sort of say, all right, well, where does that ceiling come from? Even if they throw it 100 times more, and, you know, and the quarterback's better, it's still a huge question, right? It is still a, you know, this isn't a guy that is dominant on lower volume and is just sort of begging out for volume, right? This isn't someone like McLaurin who has, I think, that some of that in him. That's what gives me a lot of the pause here, you know, ultimately. So he's like, I'm a firm at his cost. I think he's either a pivot up or pivot down guy. I don't think you stay there and hang out. Devontae Parker, 29%, or 29 years old. You know, they could save, you know, just over $3 million by cutting him. 10.6% target share. He was banged up this year. 21% of his routes he's actually targeted on. Again, that's about 80th percentile. 7.3 targets per game is, I think, notable. So if you sort of say, hey, let's, you know, and he, injury has always been an issue for him. If you were to say, hey, you know, what's a good situation look like? Like, I don't know. You could point me and say, hey, if he plays 16 games, 17 games, and does it, you know, and does it in a, maybe a better situation, you could say, all right, like, that's one that I think, you know, maybe he has some difference-making potential. Would sort of be the thought that I would say. Again, I don't think it's going to be, you know, right now he's valued at wide receiver 86 over a keep trade cut. I mean, I think he's, I think that's an easy one to take and for him to beat that. I mean, Quintez Cephas has a better keep trade cut. I mean, come on now. You know, so I think that's one. If you're just trying to take like a spec play, I like that. You know, one of the things I looked at in the book is you take, you know, your contributing guys, you get your non, you know, your partial contributors, which are going to be like your spot starts, like that sort of thing. And then you do have your value plays. And I think he's one that, you know, from a, I don't know how much he's going to go up in cost, but I think that this offseason could potentially treat him in a little bit better way. All right, some other guys here from this range. Gallup, 74th percentile in his career in terms of yards per route run. 17.6% of his routes he was targeted on. It's 59th percentile. It's not great. 1.37 yards per route run this year. Not great either. I think the injury is going to hurt him. You know, they bring him back. I think that'll be an interesting question. And one that, you know, I struggle to see him be like a wide receiver one on another team. Just doesn't signal that to me. Yeah, could it happen? Sure. I think when you look at his numbers, like, I think they probably look better on television than they actually do in real life. DJ Shark, he's, you know, him and Curtis Samuel, both dealing with injuries this year. You know, so we'll see with Shark sort of, you know, of what to, you know, it's an open, you know, it's an open, I guess, off season for him. I was gonna say open season, but that's not really true. It's an open off season for him in terms of, you know, what he has to offer. Again, there's gonna be changing coaching staff. I think it's really interesting with all these guys. In Jacksonville, again, you're going through multiple of these, and then he's going to be a free agent as well, right? So does he come back? You know, what type of situation does that have? You know, this is a scary spot to be in, you know, dealing with injuries. He has dealt with that in the past as well. You know, that is just, I mean, this is why I actually use the contractual longevity, some of the security as being a factor, because I do think it's important. When you look, he hasn't played more than 15 games. He's played 11, 15, 13, 4. So, and his high water mark was 118. He's got as many seasons under 40 targets than he does over 90. So, gives you an idea through four seasons. So he's definitely one that we're going to be watching for. Again, I think then the question becomes is like, all right, what are you trying to accomplish? Because if you're trying to accomplish something that could actually make a difference, he's one that, that might be interesting. You know, the question you always have to have in that range is, what's the cost? You know, like him or Tyler Boyd. You know, I mean, that's an interesting question. Woods is in there, Kirk, Allen Robinson. I mean, I don't think you're getting a ton of discount on him. This isn't a situation like Devontae Parker where you're getting a ton of discount. So that would sort of be my caution there with him. I'm conceptually, the idea of him as a discount is interesting. I don't think there's a ton there in terms of taking a discount at this particular point. Curtis Samuel, again, he was banged up, missed some time. He has only played one full season in his career, although he did play 13, 16, 15 games the past 3 years. And then he heads up to Washington. Again, we just discussed Terry McLaurin. I think similar things with him. I think Samuel has been – I think he's largely been – you know, he's – I think would probably be fairly characterized as a disappointment. They could save $5.8 million by cutting him this offseason. We'll see sort of what that is. He is guaranteed no. He's guaranteed. I'm sorry. That's next year. They could save $5.8 million cutting him next year. He'll be back this year. It's a $12.6 million cap number. $8.5 million guaranteed. So there's a lot of guarantees there. He should be back. Again, I think we'll watch, you know, and hope that he gets involved with a bigger role, but almost impossible for him not to be in the cap casualty discussion for next year. So so hopeful for him, but again, I'm a little bit skeptical. And he has only really done it right before his contract year, which I think is a notable one there. Some other ones here. Nelson Aguilar, again, he's interesting from a, you know, career arc perspective, but I don't think he's much of a difference maker. Sammy Watkins as well, interesting from a headache perspective. John Brown actually also makes this list, but he's trending off the radar at this point. So these are the guys that I would say generally, right? I think you might look at this tier and say, there's maybe more, one hit wonders here than you might otherwise expect. That's probably should give you another bit of caution for the more expensive guys in this range too. You know, guys like Marquise Brown, guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Darnell Mooney, right? Michael Pittman. Right, if you're sort of picking out guys that could be one-hit wonders, I think there are some profiles in that range that make should give you a little bit of pause. And this is what you see. You know, we've seen with Shark, we saw with Gallup. He did it earlier on. I mean, heck, Sutton, a lot of people really liked. Curtis Samuel, a lot of people really liked. And you sort of see they get here, then they sort of fizzle out a little bit. So I think this is can be a really dangerous tier, dangerous range of the position in terms of cost and the profiles that they're offering. So, caution definitely warranted. Until next time, continue embracing variance. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll talk again very soon.